Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimela Mutine. Thank you so much for being with us today. So, I mean, I think we all now have a good sense of what has happened and transpired over the past 2 days. And I think all of us now are sort of on the same page. And we are, I suppose, all anticipating what the court has to say. You know that the DA has filed papers. They're going to court. And so we'll wait it out and we'll see. I think the submissions are going to be very interesting. And I think what the judge has to say on that one will also be very, very interesting. I think it'll be extremely informative for all of us. One of the things, though, that I think I had a conversation with someone on X, we had a bit of an exchange, is that, you know, we need to really, really pay attention to our laws. We need to pay real attention to what our laws state. And if there are things that we're not comfortable with, we need to make sure whoever is your leader, they champion a particular law so that we don't find ourselves in the back foot and then plead not to have known something. So this is, I think, a big lesson for all of us. And whether we are all on the same page about particular laws, I think, is also very, very important. But I also want to highlight the fact that, you know, at the very, very beginning of the standing committee meeting, the very first people who flagged that something procedural was not happening was actually the EFF. And contrary to others who say they only, you know, were concerned after the fact, they said it at the very beginning of the meeting. There are certain steps that needed to have happened for the standing committee meeting to make it procedural. And some of those steps, I think, are very, very important, which is what informs some political parties to go to court. Let us now go to EFF's MP, Sanel Tambo, to help us understand, you know, if we all have it on good authority that they actually were the first to flag the fact that procedurally things weren't going right. Mr. Tambo, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to you yesterday.
No, evening, and thank you, Pimela. It was a hectic week, and I hope your listeners are doing well as well.
Yeah. Mr. Tambo, what happened at the standing committee meeting? My recollection is that before the meeting actually proceeded, what was meant to happen was that the committee was supposed to decide on whether they are going to adopt the fiscal framework or their decision as a collective was to amend, in which case then the next process is followed to discuss if we want to amend it, what then are we amending, if we're adopting, what are we doing to put the proposal forward. Just maybe clarify that for me if that is exactly the case.
Yeah, absolutely, you've got it absolutely correct, and that is what we raised in the Standing Committee of Finance of Parliament, where I sit, before we proceeded into interacting with the report. So a lot of the confusion that has been brought about is because there's been a confusion between what is the committee report and the fiscal framework. So the Standing Committee of Finance's committee report on its engagements with stakeholders, with National Treasury, with SARS, and other institutions that reflected on their contributions to the fiscal framework and revenue proposals is something completely separate from the fiscal framework and revenue proposal itself.
Yes.
Now, there's legislation that demands of us as the Standing Committee on Finance to clearly state that in Section 8.4 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Other Related Matters Act, Section 8.4 to be specific, that says the committee must first state clearly whether it accepts the fiscal framework or is going to amend the fiscal framework. And from that point in time, when we either accept the fiscal framework and then proceed with the committee report and reflect as to whether it's a correct reflection of all submissions received from stakeholders, or we amend it. And those amendments would stem from contributions from those stakeholders, which are contained in that committee report of the interactions we had had. Now, this did not happen. What happened in that was that we went straight into the committee report reflecting on the submissions we've received from members of the public and stakeholders, and making amendments where we saw fit as to whether it reflected correctly what happened. And I want to say, state clearly that in actual fact, fundamentally, those are glorified minutes. Mm-hmm. Those are not the fiscal framework itself. So the failure to do that was the procedural error in the first place. But what happened after that is that there was an adoption and voting on the committee report itself, but not on the fiscal framework. Mm. And it was only later in the evening where we got a final draft of the committee report, not reflecting amendments we had made, but also having an insertion of that the committee accepts the 2025 fiscal framework and revenue proposals at the end. And there was no voting on that final report, and that's the report we then got in Parliament, which was adopted and essentially was a substantiation for the support of the fiscal framework and itself. So those are the procedural errors that occurred. And the one thing, maybe before I close, that we must emphasize is that the recommendations contained in the committee report, which XNSA has been boasting about wrongly, which they say that they are saying Treasury must go out and in 30 days find alternatives to the VAT hikes, are not binding and have no effect on the fiscal framework. They don't amend the fiscal framework itself, which contains the VAT hikes. So that's just a proposal to National Treasury and the Minister of Finance, which they can ignore, which in 30 days they can come back and say they didn't find alternatives. But fundamentally, XNSA, IFP, the ALC, BOSA, RISE and ZANZI supported the fiscal framework, which supported the VAT hikes, which contained the VAT hikes. And there's no way to amend that 30 days because there's no law that permits that.
You make such an important point about the report and the fiscal framework being two separate things. And that's important for me because if you're saying that there was no clear vote on the fiscal framework in the decision either of adopting it or amending it, then the assumption that it was adopted is incorrect.
Absolutely. The assumption that it was adopted is based on the adoption of the committee report, which is something completely separate from the fiscal framework. And we were at pains to explain this in the Standing Committee on Finance. We wrote letters to the Speaker of the National Assembly to illustrate that. And in her rejection of our call for the matter to be removed from the order paper yesterday, she said that she had been advised that this has been done. And then we had to explain to her that the people who are advising you are the very people who distorted the report and distorted the process itself. So her reliance on being advised by the people who mishandled the Standing Committee of Finance was another error that occurred. And we've seen today that the Democratic Alliance has proceeded with filing its papers in the Western Cape High Court. And we think there's high prospect that they will win that process. And they did that while we were also in consultation with our own legal counsel. Now the matter that stands before us is whether we join the DA's legal action or we pursue our own and what the prospect of success would be, either or, if we choose one of those options.
I just want to go back, just for the purposes of making sure that everybody's on the same page. I think for me it's important to also clarify what exactly the fiscal framework is, because I think if everybody was on the same page, particularly in that standing committee, of what the framework, the fiscal framework is exactly and what is either adopted or rejected, one then would not have the confusion, because the decision on whether you adopt the framework or not is to actually say, this is the blueprint with which the budget will be informed. Am I correct?
Absolutely, that's correct. That's correct. And the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Other Legal Matters Act, which was adopted in 2009, which I spoke to, sort of characterizes it like that as well. It is the blueprint of the budgeting process of South Africa, because subsequent to that is the Division of Revenue Bill and the Appropriations Bill, where specific allocations will be made to departments like health, defense, police, and of course as well to municipalities and provinces. So the fiscal framework is the basis of all of those pieces of legislation. Mm. And the Money Bills Act states that any subsequent legislation must be in line with the fiscal framework. Mm-hmm. So that is the importance of it. It's like the foundation of the budgeting process of South Africa. So if there's a VAT increase within the fiscal framework and revenue proposals, because the second part of the fiscal framework is revenue proposals, and that speaks to the mechanisms which we plan to generate revenue. This is through taxation, through SARS, through the personal income tax, through various mechanisms. But then that is where VAT becomes important. So if within the fiscal framework and revenue proposals, VAT is sitting at the center of the mechanisms of generating revenue to channel funds for the social relief grant, health, and all sorts of things, you can't further want to change it in other pieces of legislation. This is where it begins. So the threat by XNSA and other political parties that think that their recommendation could be binding to this process is that they won't vote for the subsequent pieces of legislation, but that is actually what is going to put South Africa into peril, because you've adopted the blueprint, but now you don't want to follow through with the process of allocating the money that is necessary. So you're completely correct. It's a blueprint document.
Because, and maybe to just harbor on the point a little bit more, because the point around the VAT is included in this particular framework. And currently, as it sits, Mr. Tambo, just maybe explain what's in that framework in relation to VAT.
But currently, as it stands, the fiscal framework, as it relates to revenue generation mechanism, states that there's going to be a VAT increase of 0.5% this year and a 0.5% VAT increase in 2026.
Mm.
And that it states that clearly.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, so that to amend that or to change that was the opportunity we had there on the 1st of April.
Yeah.
There's no opportunity to change that after that. So the consultations and recommendations that I've spoken about that are going to happen after 30 days where the Minister of Finance is changing must come back, there's no provision for that in law. After the fact. You can't, after adopting the fiscal framework in the Standing Committee of Finance and then subsequently voting for that in the National Assembly, want to come back after the fact to amend it. There's no legislation that permits that. And I think the ANC has taken advantage of the fact that the ActionSA made that misinterpretation. And if you check government communication since then, they've been communicating solely that there's going to be 0.5% VAT increases this year and next year. I mean, I'm seeing on social media now people sharing that service providers such as Vodacom, MTN, and other retailers are already telling their consumers that there are going to be changes in their contractual obligations from the 1st of May. So you can see that industry, the corporate sector, is preparing itself for this because it knows that fundamentally there's no turning back once this has been adopted by the National Assembly and the Standing Committee on Finance. So any argument that is outside of that is inconsistent with everyone's understanding in South Africa, including the corporate sector, which appreciates the fact that there are VAT increases which are going to take place. And all you have to do is go to the shop on Monday morning on the 1st of May and you'll see and compare that slip to the one that you had the day before if you went shopping, and you'll see the difference.
And just to be clear, are you still deliberating on whether you want to take this, go to court yourselves independently or whether you want to support the DA? Have you made a decision yet?
Look, the latest briefing I got this afternoon while I was in Parliament is that our lawyers were still producing the DA papers because they filed them in the Western Cape High Court this afternoon.
Mm.
So the prospects of success will depend as to whether do we bolster that case or do we establish our own.
Mm.
And that will inform the way forward for the EFF. But we definitely encourage all political parties to pursue mechanisms to ensure that we return this process to the Standing Committee on Finance, because hopefully, after the many debates that have occurred since then, ActionSA has come to the realization that they've been duped. And speaking in their press conference earlier, they've sort of made a concession in that regard, that if they've made a mistake, they'll take responsibility for that, which shows that they are coming to a slow and painful realization that they might have made a mistake. I don't think they made this error purposefully. I think they had well-meaning intentions, and I've been saying this throughout the day, and even when I interact with them, I think they mean well, but it's just that they've been misinterpreted the legislation and possibly have been misled by the ANC.
Really appreciate you taking the time to clarify all of that for us. EFF MP is now Tambo there and giving us, you know, according to their understanding of the law, this is exactly what should have happened. I do want to have another perspective on all of this. The former SCOPA chairperson, we invited him into the show just to help us see it the way, you know, whether he sees it the same way that the EFF has interpreted, whether he sees it the way the DA has interpreted, or ActionSA for that matter. Mr. Tambagoti, thank you so much for affording us your time this evening. Welcome to Point of View.
Thanks very much for having me.
We're hoping you're going to school us a little bit here, because there is what we know to be politics, and then we're just hoping to get through all of that and see the finer detail. By and large, the arguments made by the EFF, we just spoke to Sanawa Tambo now, do you sort of agree with the processes that he says were meant to be followed?
Yeah, look, I think the challenge we have as a country is that since 1994, we have had a party that more than 50% of the seats in the legislature. And so a lot of the things, they will just, bulldoze them through, or even if they follow processes, they will still reach the same outcome that they've set for themselves. But here we are, 2024, we do not have a party with more than 50%. And now, you know, when you have a coalition, a budget is always an area of struggle. I'm sure we're aware Germany recently had early elections because the coalition partners could not agree on budget, on budgetary matters. So our situation is not unique. It is in the nature of coalitions, especially if your policy priorities have not been clarified, as we see between the ANC and the DA. So we find ourselves in a situation where we must now start to scrutinize processes, interpret legislation, what it meant, what was supposed to happen, how it's supposed to happen. And when I saw the report of the Standing Committee on Finance with a recommendation on the removal of VAT, I asked the question, is Parliament going to adopt it as it is, as a recommendation, or will Parliament now use its powers to amend the budget and therefore amend and remove that VAT? And from the wranglings that we're having so far, it's clear that the ANC is playing hard and fast. As we all now know, Action SA says, no, that was not our understanding. And the ANC feels, no, but you agreed. It's all because we're now starting to look at where is the comma, we're starting to look at words. And in law, interpretation of words becomes critical, sometimes more than just the substance.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you speak of law and the comma and the dots, in the law as it's stated now, it says adoption or adaptation. It's not either, it's not and or either or.
Yeah.
It's one of the two. You can't do both at the same time. So in other words, it's either you adopt it or abandon the adoption and take a new route completely of amending.
No, very true. That's why when I saw the report, I just ignored everything and went to that word recommendation.
Sure. Okay. So, let us just say that then everybody understood it the same way and understood that by virtue of us wanting to scrap that or reassessing or bringing in recommendations that come with amendments, we then need to reject the current framework and go ahead and do amendments. What then would have been the processes? They would have had to then essentially reject it. Am I right?
Not necessarily reject,
yes.
But amend. Because
yes, the word reject is not there. Yes, I get what you mean.
Yes. So when cabinet presents the budget or the fiscal framework,
yes.
It has all the things that are listed there.
Yes.
So it is for Parliament to adopt it as it is.
Yes.
Or because it has the powers in law to amend.
Correct.
It can then go and say, okay, we have listed items 1 up to 10, but we are rejecting item number 7 and item number 9. We are removing them. We are going to adopt this new fiscal framework without item 7 and item 9 using the powers that we have. So, or if completely they feel that the fiscal framework or the budget is totally misplaced, still they can't just say we reject it, because then you throw the country into a turmoil. You are given the powers to go and look at the numbers and adjust them yourselves and say, these are the numbers that we want, and this is what we're going to adopt as Parliament. Those are the powers that Parliament has, which it has never used.
Yeah. So in the process of going through the detail, they would have then, because in a way, when you listen closely to what the DA is saying, to what Action SA, for instance, is saying, in a way, it's the same thing. That they are rivals now is neither here nor there. But they are saying the same thing. There are some certain fundamentals that we want in the budget framework, and there are certain fundamentals we don't want in it. But all of them are saying we want to amend certain things. So actually, they would have and should have been on the same page.
No, true. That's why I'm saying, yes, in legally speaking, Parliament can reject. It will still be within its powers. But politically and practically, you'll find that it's not everything that you'll throw away, but you'll find that there are certain elements that you want to remove, there are set other elements that you want to in.
So adopt.
Take.
All right. That line is failing us there, Mr. Godi. I'm not sure what's happened there. What I'll do is take a quick break. Mr. Godi, are you with us? All right, we've lost him.
I'm here.
Are you still there? And maybe let me just get your final comment then on this one. You know, you make the very important point of the fact that we need to now make sure that, you know, Parliament goes back and makes sure that it fully understands itself, the law as it's written on it, so that we don't find ourselves here. Oh, okay, we're struggling with that line, but I think you got the gist of it. I'm going to take a quick break and continue with more analysis. And I think this one will be even more interesting, because I just want to know now going forward what the possibilities are with all the political parties now clearly disagreeing on some fundamentals and what politically some of these disagreements actually mean for all of us.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.